We're going to start off with a story out of Chicoutimi. Involves access to birth control. A 24-year-old in Chicoutimi went to the local Jean Coutu. The pharmacist there refused to prescribe the morning after pill. And you do need to go to a pharmacist in order to get the morning after pill. Now, do Quebec pharmacists legally have the right to refuse prescribing the morning after pill because of their personal religious beliefs? In this case, the pharmacist said, "I cannot do this. It does not align with my values. Come back later. There might be a pharmacist that it does align with their values." Well, can you do that in this province? Let's find out. Julius Gray, human rights lawyer, is on the line. Mr. Gray, thank you so much for coming on the show.
How are you?
I'm doing well. So I find this case fascinating. I know there are stories like this that crop up all the time, you know, private businesses that either refuse to provide a service. In this instance, it's a pharmacist, and that goes into healthcare, and you wonder if it's different here. But what does the law say in Quebec, in Canada, when it comes to pharmacists and what they and their personal beliefs, if they can use that as a reason to not provide a service?
Well, you know, the law is never clear, and it never says anything that is absolutely clear. What is obvious is that the patient must get the service, but at the same time, that the conscience of the pharmacist should be respected. For instance, in many countries, you could have an objection of conscience and not go to the military. You can a priest cannot be made to perform a marriage of a divorced person in the Catholic Church. So conscience is important. At the same time, the service must be provided. So I think normally the pharmacist could refuse and could impose a small inconvenience, like waiting a reasonable amount of time, half an hour or an hour or whatever. But what you cannot do is, if you're the only doctor in the area or if you're the only pharmacist in the area, refuse to render a service. Remember, a doctor doesn't have to accept any patient. He can say, "I don't want you, I don't like you." But if he's the only doctor there and you have an emergency, he has to service you. So it is a combination of the two principles that conscience must be respected. And I think in our society, we pay too little attention to these important values, conscience, honor, and forgiveness. Conscience must be respected, but at the same time, the patient must get the service. And you've got to reconcile the two. And if the only way for the patient to get the service is for this particular pharmacist to prescribe it, then it has to be done. But otherwise, we should do our best to respect the conscience, even at the cost of waiting or inconvenience.
So this is why, you know, it's so fascinating to me, because so let's look at that example, right? So you're a pharmacist and you believe, You truly believe it. And by the way, I'm not taking a side on this issue here, but let's say you're that pharmacist and you truly believe that if you give the morning after pill, you're killing a life. That's what you believe, right?
Yeah.
So you refuse, your conscience says, "I cannot give you the morning after pill." To me, it almost, you know, and then you bring in the fact, let's say, you know, it's one thing if you're a pharmacist and across the street, there's a competing pharmacist and you can get the service. But to me, it seems like, how can the law say, well, if you're the only pharmacist for miles and miles and miles, you have to go against your conscience? Doesn't it remain the same?
It's a practical issue. It's the situation that happens if you're the only doctor and you don't want to service somebody, but he's having a heart attack. You've got to do it. There are certain positions in life where you expose yourself to that if you're the only available service. But at the same time, we all have to do our best to respect people's conscience. And it's all the issue of reasonable accommodation. You have to accommodate the pharmacist or the doctor's belief, as long as it's not so onerous that it really hurts the person in an irrevocable manner. It's a balancing act, and it's one that is essentially one of common sense. But it would be a terrible thing if we said it has to be done and there's no excuse. It's like performing abortions. You don't have to perform an abortion. There may be situations where if you're the only doctor in an area, you might be forced into one. You don't have to defend certain types of people, but if you're the only attorney, then a defense might be necessary.
We're with the human rights lawyer, Julius Gray, taking a look at an incident that took place in Chicoutimi, where a 24-year-old woman went to the pharmacy trying to get access to the morning after pill. The pharmacist there refusing because it went against their beliefs. So, Mr. Gray, so where do we look at, okay, when we're trying to find the texts, you know, the legal text or the documents that give us our North Star on how to decide these things, where you've got to choose here? Is it the Quebec Charter of Human Rights? Where do we go?
Well, the Charter of Human Rights, definitely. Yeah. Also, the Pharmacist or the Medical Act, which says that everybody should get a service that is medically indicated. And then you look at the Charter of Rights. Charter of Rights talks about freedom of conscience and religion. I stress the word conscience. We haven't talked enough about conscience. It's crucial. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So the pharmacist can invoke that. There's the right to life, liberty, and security of the person that perhaps both of them can invoke. The question is which one is more hurt. And there's equality rights because, you know, as a religious person, a person may claim that being forced to violate your religion is a violation of equality. So I would say look at the medical laws, which say that people must receive the service, medically indicated services. And then look at the charter, which allows reasonable accommodation and allows a person to claim that his conscience does not permit this particular act, obviously subject to everybody else's liberty, security of the person interest.
When it comes to this, and maybe it's other issues here. You know, I know there's like I've in the past, right? There's these stories of, let's say, a baker that doesn't want to make a cake for a gay marriage, for a gay wedding like that. Is what does the law say in Canada on something like that?
Well, I think in Canada, when you provide a service that is generally available to the public, you have to provide it without discrimination. In other words, you can't refuse to provide it because somebody's gay, because somebody's Jewish, because somebody's black.
Mm-hmm.
The exception, and it hasn't been argued on that point, is the issue of conscience. It's not because they're gay, but because I cannot bring myself to cater to a gay wedding. That may be a somewhat different argument. So that, for instance, a storekeeper who says, I don't want to serve black people, is completely out and he's going to be taken to the Human Rights Commission, Human Rights Tribunal, or the Superior Provincial Court. There's no excuse for that. The person who says, I cannot cater to this marriage, for instance, suppose there was you're very, very Catholic, divorced, and so on. Mm-hmm. That is a different problem. And the argument might be made, another cake can be baked by somebody else. That's where the court would have to weigh the interest of the person providing the service and the person receiving the service.
And would the pharmacist have to, like, prove, like, that there's a religious text behind it? Like, what kind of proof does the pharmacist or anyone who would want to deny a service based on conscience,
well,
can they just say it?
Yeah, under the charter, to prove a religious or conscience exception, you have to prove that it's sincere. It doesn't even have to be religious. Remember, conscience is separate from religion.
Yeah.
You have to prove that it's sincere. You have to simply demonstrate it's sincere. You don't have to prove that it's true, that it's reasonable, or anything else. Then you look at whether it's a reasonable accommodation. In other words, somebody is never going to get the pill because you're the only person. Is it reasonable for you to invoke that, or is it too onerous for the other party? So there, it goes in two parts. The first one is to establish that you're not just making something up for capricious reasons, that you're sincere in your belief, your conscience. And again, we don't go further into that. We don't examine whether your religion or your belief is a reasonable one or not. We just say it's sincere. And then we look at whether the accommodation you're asking for is possible given the interests on the other side.
Human rights lawyer Julius Gray, generous with his time this morning. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
It's a pleasure.